G'day, Tim.
Newsman, good evening.
Yes, we are one newsman and a web guy. A jam-packed show once again.
Packed with jam, metaphorically.
That's it. We look at TV deaths, Tim. What was your take on that topic?
This is how they write characters out of shows, and the recurring theme is the brutality that they use to write people out of shows. It's very rarely a, good story about how the characters disappeared. It's always savage.
Yeah, and it's pretty fickle for the poor viewers, but that's something we'll discuss. Deborah Zonke, we've come up with a new animal, or someone has anyway.
Yep. Deborah the Zonke. Is she a zebra or is she a donkey? Maybe sort of both at the same time. Anyway, yeah. We'll look at zoos just pulling some Swifties.
And one of our favourite comic strips, definitely mine and I think yours as well, has got really deep, or we've missed a real deep part of a popular comic strip.
Yeah, and this was the worst story of the week for me. I'm still reeling. Shattered the enjoyment I've had from Garfield comics over the years.
And we also look at viral videos, some that are uplifting, others that are just a bit mean, aren't they, really?
Yeah, uplifting or mean. And also, I think we'll have a bit of a chat about us as humans, these viral videos. Are we being had? Are we being taken advantage of? Do we know it when we're being taken advantage of? Anyway, I think what we've got this week is some pretty sincere or genuine videos. But, we could be wrong. We have been before.
So we're one newsman and a web guy. Let's get things started. Tim, do you ever get hooked into TV shows, really batten down the hatches and watch it religiously?
Yeah, that has happened.
Yeah. One of those for me is The Walking Dead, which is on pay TV, and it's about zombies and what life is like for the rest of the world when zombies take over the place.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a big hit in the US. It's got a cult following in Australia, given not too many people have
pay TV. Can I quickly add something here?
Yes.
Nothing is more confusing than overhearing people talk about a TV show you've never watched.
Mm.
I've heard you chat about this one before, just eavesdropping as I do sometimes.
Yes.
And having never seen it, hearing you and someone else go into detail, I'm just like, what in the hell? Anyway.
Yeah, it's very, very nerdy, but hey, you get involved and it sort of becomes a part of your weekly routine.
Yep, I get it.
So with this show, recently I was really disappointed to find out that the actor Andrew Lincoln, who plays Rick Grimes, who's the centre character in a very long series of this zombie show, has decided to give it away. He's had enough of playing Rick Grimes in The Walking Dead.
Who we'll call from now on Grimy.
Grimy, that's it, for disappointing me. So basically it kind of in my mind, spells the end of the show.
Okay.
Now, Andrew Lincoln's leaving for, professional reasons. He thinks he's done the role. That's fine.
Mm.
It got us thinking about other actors that have actually been written out of their parts for different reasons.
Well, interesting to hear you say it's ruined the show. That might be a bit premature, don't you think? Like, you haven't even seen what they do without him. Am I right?
This is true, but you look at something like, say, Happy Days, when Richie Cunningham left.
Okay.
It was dead. I'm sure there are other shows.
Well, what about Ashton Kutcher replacing Charlie Sheen on Two and a Half Men?
Well, this is one of the TV shows that was brought up in an article we read recently. Charlie Sheen was he sacked? Was he? How did it work?
I think officially he went nuts, is how they describe it.
Saying anti-Semitic comments, just
okay,
outlandish comments.
It was like a personal beef he had with someone. I think the creator of the show.
Mm.
I think he got on the wrong side of the wrong guy. And so they just were not getting along. And so they booed him. I don't think it was any public. I could be wrong. But I don't remember it being any public antics of his, of Charlie's, that got him out. But I only mentioned it because I felt like, well, that show lived on. It feels like for quite a few seasons after that.
Yeah, I guess you're right there. So Charlie got the boot. I think they did some fairly, just wrote him out, said he, He died in a subway accident or something like that.
Is that what, actually? Did you make that up, or no, is that what no. they? Because
I reckon the next season they just said, "Oh, that was unfortunate," and moved on basically.
Yeah.
So that was probably the most recent and most publicised one.
Except, Roseanne's been booed off her own show.
Good one.
And I think there is some chat that some version of the show or some spin-off may happen, which is basically the same show.
The Connor family or something.
Okay, yeah, just not with her.
Well, there you go. That's the most famous and most recent, isn't it?
That's pretty recent. That's just the last month or so.
Some of my other favourites, Maud Flanders from The Simpsons. I didn't actually know this, but it sounds like Maggie Roswell was in a bit of a pay dispute with the people that create The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And basically, poor old Maud Flanders got killed off in the show, hit by a T-shirt gun.
Yeah, T-shirt cannon. And that is interesting because she is really the only one. There might be another one. I don't know. But for a show that's been running for, it's almost 30 years or more now, and they have kept the entire voice cast, who have all become, you know, megastars and are all earning, I'm sure, tons of money. She's the only one they haven't been able to keep. So probably they're paying all the others so much. And she was probably, earning way less than them. Might have been a bit of a problem. And it does feel like the writers taking their revenge on the real life actor with a kind of, sort of killing the character. It's so brutal.
Yeah.
Is there not a way they could do it differently? It seems so vicious to kill the character, but they do it all the time.
It seems like there's a real interesting power balance between writers, the creators, and the actors, because the actors are vital.
Yep.
People love, as I started the intro, people get attached and feel like the show will lose a bit.
Yeah.
If they're gone.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, someone behind a keyboard can go, nah, T-shirt gun, you're gone. Now, this is a show, Tim, that's probably one that you haven't got into or have heard about it, and it's actually probably pre-me, but somehow I got hooked into this show called Good Times. You ever heard of that?
Well, I can't say I have.
So I think it was made in the late 70s.
Okay.
And it was about a Black American family living in an apartment block, and it was sort of showing just life as a low-income, struggling family, still a bit of racism around America at the time. And John Amos was the father in this. I don't know if he's what other big movies or shows he's been in, but you'd recognise his face. We'll Google him after the show. He just decided the jokes were all a bit, it was getting a bit
tired.
The humour wasn't very good, and he didn't even get killed off in the show. He just was sacked, basically. So, in what was a fairly what would you call it?
Controversial.
A show that sort of really, like Different Strokes, pushing forward the, racial tensions and bringing it to the forefront. And this poor bloke got the boot for just thinking it sucked a bit.
And they never explained it in the show, is that what you're saying?
No, I think they just went, move on. One of my favourite shows, we brought it up several times, Seinfeld. George Costanza, his fiancée Susan, do you remember how she left the show?
Yeah, she's poisoned when she licks too many envelopes and has a toxic episode.
Yeah, so Jason Alexander apparently didn't feel like they had a good comedy chemistry together.
Yeah.
And I guess when Jason Alexander, one of the key characters of Seinfeld, aka George, says, let's get rid of her, it's good.
Well, he is, you're not going to get rid of Jason Alexander. He, you're going to keep him. But again, why kill her? There's got to be another way, even a funnier way, possibly, to make that happen. It's just, I don't know, something about Hollywood, isn't there? They're just angry bunch of egomaniacs.
Because you look at some of the TV soaps in Australia, and many of the characters, they just go to Adelaide. That's that's where the scriptwriters take them, yeah. And then they can return when their career has either flopped or yeah. they just want to get back into Neighbours or Home and Away.
Can I tell you another Aussie soap little quirk that I got tipped off to ages ago?
Yeah.
And I loved it. I've always kept an eye out for this. On any of these soapy shows, as soon as you see the character hop into an old car, you know they are in dire straits.
Right.
Because the car is going to have a terrible crash. It's going to be written off, probably explode, maybe go into the ocean, off a cliff. And because of budget limitations, they're never going to damage an expensive model car. So as soon as you see him hop into a beaten up old bomb, which they can use in the stunt
yep.
to destroy it and not cost too much money, watch out.
See, I was going practical. I thought, okay, old car, brakes don't work as well. No, it's just for budget reasons. Budget. We want to smash the old Kingswood. And I reckon one of the ones that first grabbed my attention as a bit scandalous was Shannon Doherty, who Ooh. Was considered a real pain in the butt on, what was it called?
90210?
Yep.
Yeah.
Went on to make Charmed, which was about three young, attractive witches. But once again, Shannon Doherty just didn't get along with everyone. So
yeah, so how did they write her out?
Yeah, I can't remember now, but she was written
had
out
a subway accident?
Pretty much. Nah, they probably cast a spell and she was vanquished to the some magical land or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought it was interesting that that balance between I am a star, I can demand certain things, but if I cross a certain line,
yeah,
writers will kill you off.
Marcus, I go to the zoo all the time. I'm a member. Our whole family are members. We go all the time. We love it.
That must be enjoyable. I probably haven't been for 4 or 5 years, but every time I go, love seeing the animals. And, animals you just don't see every day.
Yeah. What if you walked past one of the animal enclosures and did a bit of a double take because... what you have seen is not as advertised. In other words, the so-called zebra that you might be admiring in the zoo, on closer inspection, you realize is in fact looking a lot like a donkey.
Wow.
Painted up to look like a zebra.
Now, there are so many animals in the world and many could pass as other animals because we don't really look into things that closely. But a zebra is probably the most recognizable animal across the world, would you say?
It's iconic.
It's up there with...
Right up there.
What? Flamingo and elephant and...
The giraffe is very distinctive.
Giraffe, yeah, you can't fudge that one. So tell us more.
Well, this was a zoo in Egypt. And a guy did the double take. Hang on, they're telling me this is a zebra, but to me it looks like a donkey with black stripes painted on it. He took a photo of the donkey / zebra. We'll call it a zonkey.
Deborah the zonkey.
Deborah the zonkey. He posted it on social media. It's pretty much gone viral from there. The zoo have rejected the claim. No way, get out, mate. This is for sure a zebra, is what they've said. But a vet who's gone on the record has said, well, a couple of problems with this so-called zebra. Deborah the zonkey. One, their... is it a muzzle? Is muzzle the right... No, snout.
Snout.
Their snout is black.
Mm-hmm.
The white stripes are more consistent and parallel, and this animal, the stripes were a bit wonky, the snout was completely white. He also says zebras have much smaller ears, but this Deborah had, you know, fair dinkum...
Mule's ears.
Yeah, for all money, the ears of a mule.
Yeah, I've seen this picture, and I'd say the ears are about 25 centimetres long.
Yes, yeah.
So and the zebras are more like little... I don't know,
Much smaller.
Yeah, maybe 10 centimetres.
Yeah, these look like donkey ears. So there's a few things there that don't add up. And then, as if all that wasn't enough, the black stripes have started to smudge across Deborah's face.
That's probably where it falls down, incredibly.
Yeah. So, damning, a couple of damning points there, which, you know, the zoo still maintains it is a zebra. And I guess, what can you do? I mean, if they say it, you can find all the stuff in the world that's wrong with it. But how can you actually prove it? Like a DNA test or something?
Yeah, I mean, is there a zoo police, like a regulation body that goes in and like
zoo police
secretly takes a swab from or plucks a hair from the piece of fur from the
for some
from
reason
the zonkey?
I imagine the zoo police resembling Paul Blart Mall Cop, probably just some guy on a Segway riding around.
Yeah, there wouldn't be a lot of call for this particular law enforcement agency. But from the sounds, this is not the only fake animal getting around in the world.
No, and this is where it gets really interesting. I had no idea that zoos were just passing off, you know, lookalikes as animals that they are in fact not. There's a really weird one in... Where was this? This was in China. A Chinese zoo passed off some blow-up penguins. Plastic penguins. And I saw photos of these blow-up penguins in the enclosure and clearly not real penguins. So I don't know what they were doing. Is that meant to be humorous? Because no one is looking at these and actually thinking... Well, maybe not. Whereas with the donkey zebra, there was a bit of a, is it or isn't it?
Yeah,
these
are
just flat out.
A lot of exhibits you would walk past fairly quickly. And if you saw this zonkey,
yeah,
probably, you know, 10 metres away, mm-hmm. you might just, bit of a glance, black and white. Yep, that's a zebra.
Yeah.
But yeah, fake.
Penguins.
Inanimate objects.
And they were oversized as well. but this one I really liked. Again, another Chinese zoo passed off a Tibetan Mastiff dog, which I had never seen. But when I saw the picture, this dog is like a bit of a furball.
Uh-huh.
Lot of fluff around the head area.
Yeah.
Big fluffy body. This zoo put one of those dogs in a enclosure and said it was an African lion.
And if I can explain to the listeners how you... measured this dog, it was like a big bread basket, basically. Like,
yeah,
not big.
No, I mean,
we all know how big a lion is.
The enclosure was kind of gloomy. It was dim. You would say it was not well lit.
Right. Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, so maybe they were just trying to obscure the fact a little bit. Like if you were running past at 30 km/h an hour. And threw a glance over your shoulder, you'd maybe think, oh, okay, lion, sure. Any closer look than that, I think you'd be onto them.
Now, my first impression... Oh, sorry, were you finished?
Yeah.
My first impression is like you, a bit like, come on, this is a zoo. Give us the real deal. But maybe this is the way of the future. A lot of animals are becoming endangered. A lot of the enclosures around the world aren't that impressive and don't look like a great lifestyle for exotic animals. So does it hurt if we just pretend that something's... Like, why is it so important that we see the real deal?
You may as well just go on Wikipedia. Just Google image search. Like, why take the time to go to a real-life venue and see something in the flesh when you could just see images of it online? I mean...
But what if it was... What if they were saying, we want to educate you about zebras and lions... But we don't think it's ethical to keep them in such a small enclosure.
Yeah.
So we'll pull in the donkey as a representation.
Yeah. Okay. Look, I'm going to let you run with that. You can make that argument if you like.
Nah, it's rubbish. It's rubbish. But
I like that you've written off the bulk of the world's zoo enclosures as subpar.
there are a lot.
I like that you've just made that call. But this is an interesting and a serious point. And I just remember hearing it. I don't know the truthfulness. of it. But I have heard this thing about animals in a zoo. You think of animals, you know, they want to be in the wild. They want to run free. Mm. Well, not really. In the wild, it's all about like a circumference or a zone. Like animals just need a certain zone of space. They don't need the whole world. They don't want to run free through the whole world.
Yes.
They only need a certain space. And it's probably a lot smaller than what we may assume.
Yeah. Okay.
So as long as they're provided that in a zoo, well, it's actually, you know, happy days for them. They don't have to worry about predators. Yeah. They don't have to travel further afield than what is safe.
That is very interesting. Like we always just picture the wide expanses of Africa and and them traveling miles and miles. Mm. But do you have any idea the zone they're talking about?
I don't know in measurements, but those African plains you speak glowingly of, those are some killing fields out there. Like that is, you know, that is where survival of the fittest is the real deal. They don't really want to be venturing too far out in there because it's, you know, it's not that pleasant. Maybe better for the lions.
Would there be any of these animals that would be acceptable to you? Like, what would be acceptable? A different breed of the same animal you'd probably not ask for your money back at the zoo, being a regular zoo goer?
Yeah. Probably if they passed off an eel as a snake.
Yep.
I don't know. If you take an eel out of water, I guess it's in trouble, isn't it?
How about if you were in China and you saw a wallaby being passed off as a kangaroo? Is that okay?
No, I just called it. Why would they do that? Why would they just?
Kangaroo is much better than a wallaby.
I think it's going to be much simpler for everyone if we just call the animal what it is. And is it so bad to see a donkey in a zoo? Like, what's so shameful about that anyway? I don't want to overdo it, Marcus, but I feel this week I have been reduced to a shell of my former self after a shock revelation.
Are you okay, Tim?
I feel empty on the inside. I feel gutted. And it's got to do with comic strip.
A comic strip?
I went through a phase just checking the cartoon, the comics in the newspaper every day, and I wouldn't look at all of them because some of them are not good. I'd always look at Wizard of Id. It's been taken out now.
Yeah.
I'd usually look at Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
I would always look at Garfield. I liked Garfield. And Garfield I remember from a kid. Probably the first comic strip I remember being aware of.
Mm. It's probably been one of the mainstays of the local newspaper in Adelaide. Garfield, I reckon it's done the distance.
So. Still there. I checked today. It's still in there. Still, you know, I always liked it because it was kind of happy-go-lucky. It was kind of upbeat, kind of like this, you know, lazy cat, kind of making fun of his, you know, hard luck owner.
Yes.
Silly, you know, dog sidekick that the cat Garfield would just pull pranks on.
Yep.
Just felt like kind of upbeat and, you know, nice vibe about it.
Loves lasagna, which is strange.
Yep.
A interesting relationship with a spider.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to it and then slap it with a newspaper.
Yeah.
As a cat owner, I've always found it pretty spot on as well. Just that feeling of all about yourself and laziness and food and indifference towards your owner.
Yeah.
So that's all good.
But also funny. You know, some comic strips you read and you go, yeah, okay, rightio. Garfield, you know, there is always a punchline.
Mm.
And, you know, you're never rolling on the floor in stitches, but it's sort of like nice one. Good.
Yeah.
This week, the illusion is ruined. A guy on Twitter called Krang T. Nelson has a lot of followers, must be reputable. Even if he doesn't, he's just produced the evidence. You know, just look at it, see it for yourself. He has attached this caption to a picture he's posted of an old Garfield strip. It's from the 80s. This is what he said. Today I learned that there is a strong theory that ever since this series of Garfield strips came out in 1989, every subsequent Garfield comic takes place in Garfield's loneliness-addled mind, a desperate attempt to reclaim some sort of comfort through delusion. It sounds like a crap crackpot conspiracy theory. Mm. Or there's a lot of these wild...
What is he talking about?
There's wild fan theories about everything. Like, oh, the Joker was actually a returned soldier with PTSD, blah, blah, blah. I wrote it off. And then I went back and had a look at the actual comic that was drawn in 1989. And it is straight up chilling. I showed it to you.
Mm.
I don't know if you were as disturbed as I was.
Yeah, well, as you described, normally a very light-hearted comic strip. But I'll let you explain it. But, yeah, it makes you feel a bit, yeah.
Sad?
Well, and also it's one of those things where you enjoy the comic strip because it's light-hearted and not too deep.
Yeah. Yes.
But this is deep.
It gets deep. So a series of three or four strips in 89, this is what essentially happens. Garfield wakes up in the house. He's all alone. He suddenly realizes he's actually living inside an abandoned house that's been empty for years. Then he thinks, oh, John and Odie have come home. I'm not alone after all. And then he realizes that he's just imagined them. And then a text box saying, after years of taking life for granted, Garfield is shaken by a horrifying vision of the inevitable process called time. He has only one weapon, denial. And then the strip goes on. He reimagines Jody and Odie. They're back there all of a sudden. And the strip ends. So this guy's, well, the theory is every strip after that is just Garfield's, whatever is happening in every strip after that, Garfield is just imagining.
So were John and Odie real at any stage, do you think?
Ooh, he picks up an old photo in the abandoned house, and I think John and Odie might be in the photograph. So,
but whether he actually knew them or just
saw
the picture.
That's right.
Mm.
Yeah, he may never have known them. And he's fantasized his entire life with them.
Well, it's definitely something I'll have in my holster the next time I'm at a dinner party or a party or something. And I'm looking for a real
bring down to ruin the party vibe. This is
yeah,
a good
but something that I can go, well, did you know this?
One good thing I mentioned before, I had a look in the paper today. Garfield's still in there. I read through it and thought, armed with this new knowledge that I have now, can I still read the thing? And I would like to report back that it's still fine. Still fine. Still enjoyable.
So what does that say about other comics? Do you think other comic... What do you call them? Comic artist? Writer? I don't know.
Cartoonist?
Cartoonist. What do you call that cartoon person? Cartoonist.
Yeah.
Whether... they're doing things that are a bit more deeper than what appears to be there.
Yeah. We'll have to dig down... find out if anyone else is, you know, taking advantage of us in this depressing way.
And you must admit that for all comic strips, Garfield merchandise took off in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you had the Garfield phone, which I used to... There used to be one of those real gifty shops at my local supermarket complex, and I just eyed that off. It was about $150 in the 80s. And I thought, one day... when I am a rich
mogul
journalist type, I will buy that thing, because you picked it up and Garfield's eyes opened.
Mm-hmm.
And there, of course, there was the Garfields that had the suction cups on the feet.
That's right.
And they would stick to the side of the car. So are they
every second car had one.
Are they all tools to deal with depression? I thought they were just fun.
But
maybe they're about mental dealing health. With loneliness and mental health.
That aside, that phone today would have to be worth $5,000, wouldn't it?
Aww.
If you had bought it.
That
would
no, well, I think that's the thing. Back then, originals were originals. I reckon there'd be heaps of knockoffs and you could probably get it for the same price or less.
Yeah.
But, I'm going to have to go back, read a bit more Garfield, and, like you, pretend I didn't know this disturbing discovery.
Maybe I have to do a rethink, Newsman. I have... felt in the past that from a media point of view, good news is not news.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Like initially I was, you know, no one really wants to hear about the handover of a check or a funding announcement by a government. But I reckon goodwill stories are back in vogue.
Well, indeed they are, because this week a viral story involving a selfless tradie and a heartwarming moment where an elderly man was at a McDonald's counter trying to pay for his McDonald's meal and was rifling through his pockets, which were just filled with change, and he was trying to, you know, rustle up enough money to pay for this McDonald's meal. Turns out he was down to his last few bucks. The guy standing next to him, a tradesman, noticed sort of what was going on and just paid for the guy's meal. And the guy kind of, the old guy kind of protested, didn't want a bar of it. But, you know, in the end said, all right, thank you, that's great. And then after that, the tradie gave him another 20 bucks. And the guy again said, no, no. But, you know, he accepted it in the end.
Mm.
Meanwhile, the tradie's partner had been secretly filming all this. She must have realized there was something going on up at the counter, switched on the camera phone, caught it all, and bada bing, bada boom, it's gone viral. This guy is a hero.
Mm. And so he should be.
I always felt like, okay, you know, good news is not news, because what are you going to say? You know, what would you say in a news bulletin? Hi, everyone. Today, everything is good. It's only if it's only when something's gone wrong that that's actually noteworthy. But anyway, like you said, there's a niche for these stories.
Yeah.
And this is heartwarming. I did watch the video and I did think it was great. And it did make me think the guy was a good guy, and that, you know, a little bit more of what he has done, you know, more of us doing that kind of thing would probably go a long way.
As a newsman, that is a constant complaint that you get from people ringing in. They'll say, why don't you cover this? It's always negative.
Yeah.
But that would be a real test, whether news services across the world all said, on this day, we will only cover good news, positive stories, and see what sort of, whether it generates the same interest. Because I think a lot of what drives news is people's concern about how this all will affect me. Will I be better or worse off? Is it hurting? Is something hurting someone?
Mm.
So it's all about concern. So we enjoy the good news stories, but we couldn't go over the top of them.
I have an idea what would happen if, as you suggested, everyone got together and said, today we're only covering good news. I have a fair idea exactly what would happen.
Yes.
Nobody would pay for that.
No, I think they would for a day, but if you sustained it.
Newspaper sales go even further through the floor.
And unfortunately, while there is good, people always will take advantage of, if everything was covered in a positive light, no one with corrupt deals or would ever be picked up.
Yep.
Because you have to pick at the scab to get some of those stories.
Awful mental image. I don't know where this, I've got another story to hit you with. I'm not sure where this one falls. Maybe it's part of a whole new category that we don't even fully understand yet, but another viral video in the US of a barber pulling a major big time prank on a 10-year-old boy. So the boy and the barber have a bit of a back and forth pranking situation where the boy left a fake cockroach in the guy's barbershop. As revenge, the barber is cutting the boy's hair. He says, oh, oops, sorry, I've just nicked your ear here. And he's got some fake blood in his hand, and the blood, he starts, you know, pushing the blood out into the boy's side of his face, and it's all down his hand, and he's, and the barber's saying, oh, geez, oh, okay, don't panic. Anyway, there's more and more blood. The boy gets more and more panicked, genuinely panicked, like he's telling the barber, call an ambulance, or call my mum. His mum wasn't immediately in the immediate vicinity. He's shrieking out for his mum. The barber keeps taking it further and further, really, you know, milking the joke. In the end, he had a rubber ear, and he made the 10-year-old boy think that his ear had fallen off. The barber drops the plastic ear onto the ground, and he's saying, oh my God, this has never happened before. And the boy is screaming, ma, ma, and there's blood all over his face. So, you know, top-notch prank, but 10-year-old boy? I was watching the video thinking, this boy, could this give him issues?
Yeah. I was just had a, what do you call it, internal
Monologue.
As you're doing that, why am I laughing? Because I've had this very conversation with my partner at home just 2 or 3 days ago that I've decided I don't like practical jokes where someone's stress level is taken to a new level.
Yeah.
I guess I can understand like giving someone a surprise, like, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
But I don't like it when people get overly like freaked out.
Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah, so I reckon what was his reaction once he realized it was a prank? Was he...
Once he realized it was a prank, he was laughing. There was a beat, a pause, and then he sort of laughed and bragged that he didn't cry at least. Mm. But I couldn't help but think, if he is ever, you know, what if one day like his ear does get cut off or something, you know, or something maybe not that serious, but he's just gonna think, oh, here we go, another prank. It's the boy that cried wolf situation thing.
Well, yeah, but you'd think maybe you'd feel the pain this time if it was real, but yeah,
that is the missing ingredient, isn't it? But there should be boundaries with these pranks. I've seen another one where a man made his wife believe that, you know, like their kid, he had accidentally killed his kid.
Yeah, see, that's
way past what's acceptable.
So are you drawn to these sort of prank videos normally, or?
No, if they just pop up, you know, if it's become so popular that it's just popping up in news feeds, you know, I might come across it, but no, I don't get a kick out of them.
Now, in both of these cases, the reason why they become viral is they're authentic. Like, do you think online consumers are very quick and very perceptive of what is spontaneous and what is set up?
Oh, yeah. You just know. It's just because, I guess, you know, the set up ones, you know, at the end will be, oh, and you should buy Skittles.
Mm.
Well, it's just, yeah, people are so much smarter than what, you know, they usually get credit for. Like, it's just obvious.
But I'm not talking about, say, an advertising campaign, but just say this girl wanted to increase her following online.
Yeah.
Going back to the McDonald's one, she wanted to promote her boyfriend who was going to go on a talent show or something. Or
yeah, yeah.
Do you think we would be able to pick up that the old guy isn't someone they knew? Or,
yeah. I was looking for that. I watched the video looking for the chink in the armor, which would tip me off to the fact that this was staged. Didn't seem to be. To me, but you know, who knows? We had a viral social media moment in Adelaide this week with a young girl getting Katy Perry to visit her house, and the you can just tell the initial social media post. It's, you know, you just know genuine when you see it. I mean, you can't fake, you know, an ill child.
Yeah.
So you know, people twig and people get it.
Do you know? And like a. Yeah, do you know, like with that video, the girl's very shy response is real.
Yeah.
Like if it was fake, you kind of want to see her go, oh my God, it's Katy Perry, I love you so much. But that's not what an 8-year-old does. An 8-year-old is stunned by a superstar being in their house and talks in 2 or 3 word sentences, really. Like when they're under pressure and...
Yeah.
Yep, so...
Not to be racist, but unless they're American. 8-year-old American, and you kind of used the American accent when you did that little...
Yeah, oh my God.
American kids are something else.
Yeah.
They just love the limelight, you know, to generalise. And in the same... Katy Perry, you wonder what she would make of it because, you know, an American kid probably would have such a different reaction to an Australian kid. She might be like... What's wrong with these Aussies?
Underwhelming.
They don't care.
So goodwill gestures, thumbs up for me.
Yep.
Pranks that make people freak out, thumbs down.
Two thumbs down.
But authenticity has to be.
Got to be there.